Well, it's 2 days into the new year, and by now we have already begun embarking on our new or refurbished New Year's resolutions. I've pulled a few old ones out of my past, like getting more sleep, regular exercise. But there is one new one that's quite important to me. It's challenging, but it's well worth the effort. It's called Deciding for Divinity. I like to reflect on it from three different types of opportunities in our lives. They involve seeing the intrinsic nature of our world, projecting our thoughts and our feelings, and responding with our words and our actions. Deciding for Divinity is a phrase from Emanuel Swedenborg's book, Divine Love and Wisdom. Swedenborg gives an example of how a person can look at a seed from a tree from two different perspectives. From a purely natural perspective, someone seeing the amazing transformation of a little seed into an enormous tree with branches, leaves, flowers, fruits, and even more seeds. They can see this as something that nature has the wisdom to create, ascribing the whole process of this transformation to nature's wisdom. But another person looking at the same tree will see it from a spiritual perspective, seeing the same processes and ascribing them and the wisdom of this creation to God. Or consider the incredible transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. A nature-only view or a spiritual view? The first perspective is sensory and based upon appearances. The second perspective does not deny the appearances, but perceives the divine hand guiding all of the processes behind them. Our eyesight is so limited. What we see in the world is only what our eyes sense and reflect up to our brains. And this is only the appearance of things. For example, we see our bodies and we feel their heaviness, especially when you wake up in the morning, and if you happen to stub your toe on the way to the bathroom, that sense of solidity of the body has a new meaning. And yet scientists have proven that our bodies are comprised of primarily empty space. We're comprised of atoms. But if you take one of these atoms and you enlarge it to the size of this city block that contains the church and the church grounds, the size of the nucleus would still be smaller than a pebble. And the electrons that would be whirling around on the perimeter of this block would be smaller than grains of sand. The rest is empty space, or at least what appears to be empty. These atoms have the appearance of materiality and a feel of hardness. It's incredible. Swedenborg is saying that if we do not give credit to God's wisdom for creation and its design, we are only naturally minded and missing the most important part. This also applies to people. If we don't make an effort to hold our friends and strangers in the light of their divine creation and process of growth and transformation, then we are segregating ourselves from the deep love that God has infused in all of us. It doesn't take much. We can reflect on them for a moment, taking some time to consider how they are created in the image and likeness of God, or how God loves them right now and whatever predicament they find themselves in. An initial experience of doing this might bring up feelings like humility, gratitude, peace, or love. In addition to this intrinsic type of experience, we can open up ourselves to the divine from what we intend and respond with our thoughts and our feelings. To explain this, consider the work of a Japanese researcher, Dr. Masaru Emoto, and what he calls the message from water. I don't know, has anybody here seen his work presented in that movie that came out, What the Bleep Do We Know? A few of you? No? All right. Dr. Emoto put clean water samples in petri dishes, and he would freeze them, And then he would photograph their crystalline patterns using a microscope. He found that the same water froze into different crystalline patterns based upon the influence of people's thoughts and emotions. When people focused on the water sample, sending them positive feelings like kindness, thankfulness, and love, the crystals that were formed appeared beautiful. And in the pictures, they looked like snowflakes. They're just amazing. But when hateful or negative emotions and feelings were intended upon these exact same water samples, the crystals that appeared were asymmetrical and even looked like they were damaged. And he also found that he took water from polluted rivers, and when he tried to freeze them and look under the microscope, they would freeze, but they oftentimes wouldn't form any crystals at all. Now, with psychology, we already know about the influence of our thoughts and our feelings upon our psyches and on our bodies. But Dr. Emoto's work demonstrates their influence in a very real way, showing that our thoughts and our feelings have an energy in them. The significance of this is tremendous, not only for us individuals, but also for us as a culture. We may be aware of the power of our prayers when we focus and pray, but what about the rest of each day? How much time do we spend each day rushing around frantically because we're late for an appointment or late to work or perhaps frustrated or grumpy because the house doesn't get cleaned or maybe some guests are arriving and it's just that last crunch? Our thoughts and feelings and these experiences are damaging to ourselves and they're damaging to others and to our planet. Not only because they are affecting the 70% of the water that's comprised in our bodies, or because they're affecting our health, or even the 70% of water that encompasses the surface of this earth. But it's also because they have a real power to negatively influence our experience of life. This is all we have here, our experiences. So why start off each day at a disadvantage? 2 weeks ago, a friend shared a dream with me that reflects the influence of our thoughts and our feelings in our lives. She dreamt this. It was dark, rainy, and spooky. We were on an island, stranded, alone, scared. Bad things kept happening. Our fears were feeding the events. Our thoughts kept getting darker, and thus things kept getting worse. Then somehow, I realized that it was our thoughts that were doing the bad things. And I told everyone to have good thoughts, beautiful thoughts. And all of a sudden, the skies cleared, good things started happening. We had changed our reality by changing our thoughts into good thoughts and feelings. First, let me explain that this is a dream. It's metaphorical, it's symbolic. Not literal. We cannot literally control the world around us, let alone our bodies, simply by our individual thoughts and feelings. But we do influence this world, and we do influence our experience of it. This gift is a dream. This dream is a gift, not only to my friend, but also to all of us now who have heard it and can share in its simple wisdom. By sending helpful and caring thoughts to the person, say, who is yelling at the meter maid for writing her a ticket. Or to the person in front of you in the grocery checkout line who is clearly stressed out from shopping with his two screaming kids. We usually stand back and think to ourselves, whoa, this guy's got difficult, or what's this guy's trip, or this woman's got some issues. You know, we kind of take a step back and reflect from our own little space. But how about something different? How about sending them peaceful thoughts, loving thoughts? Try imagining a comforting arm around their shoulders. Or envisioning love pouring out of the heavens into their bodies. The ways to visualize your caring thoughts and your feelings are endless. This intentional loving attitude literally influences not only them, but also our experience of them. It's like a form of active prayer. This form of actively praying naturally extends itself into the way we respond with our words and our deeds. It brings our loving and caring thoughts and feelings more concretely into life, with God's hand ultimately behind all encouraging words that we share or kindness that we do. This has been most deeply demonstrated in the outpouring of support for the victims of the earthquake and the tsunami around the Indian Ocean. Truly, this is choosing divinity. But what about the fact that over 100,000 people died because of the earthquake and the ensuing tsunami? How can we hold divinity behind this act of nature? We in California are familiar with the damage of earthquakes. But God's view is larger. Living on earth is an experience of change, especially with weather patterns and the shifting of the earth's plates and the crust. Change happens. The earthquake is not good or bad. It's part of the earth's process. There's no blame on God or anyone else. It's an event. And it's horribly painful to experience, let alone to imagine. And it truly hurts. What is good or bad is our response to this crisis. In this way, we are choosing God by choosing to act with care and help, including donations and prayers. Acting with loving kindness isn't always as straightforward in our everyday lives. When we're busy shopping during the holidays or trying to check off each planned activity on our lists, we often don't feel like extending a helping hand. Or, if a coworker is a jerk, why waste time going out of your way to be nice to him? If I can't feel kindness for him, why should I try to show it? I would not be sincere, right? Well, a few months ago, I had an experience which shed some light on this for me. I was wondering how to love God with all my heart, mind, strength, and soul, as Jesus asks, when I don't feel loving towards God. The next morning, I woke up with a song in my head. I pay attention to the words of this songs because in the past several years, they have almost always given me some insight and advice for whatever's been troubling me on the night prior. I woke with some lyrics from a song titled Love Fool, sung by a group called the Cardigans. Don't know if they originated the song, but that's the first people who showed up on the internet when I went to go search for those words. The song, the lyrics were this. I'm not going to sing it, but you can. Love me, love me. Say that you love me. Fool me, fool me. Go on and fool me. Love me, love me. Pretend that you love me. Wow. Oof. I've never been a big fan of this idea of fake it until you make it. Just didn't feel right or sincere. But if God is advising me to pretend that I love God until I really feel it, then surely I can pretend that I love my neighbor when I don't feel it. God is saying, love them. Fool them. Pretend that you love them. Swedenborg calls this acting as if. So, in your next opportunity, if you find yourself with a chance to do this, in your head, try saying this to the other person, or out loud if you choose to, but it might be easier initially in your head. Keep repeating it. Say, I love you. I love you. I love you. And if you are sincere about doing it, then eventually your heart will open up as well. What a simple New Year's resolution. Perhaps you too may find room to add it onto your list of resolutions. The opportunities are everywhere. Happy New Year. Amen.